make these type of quality decisions. It's not going to always be easy, but the question is, what's better? And that's why the Lord has given me this message, living in his presence, because I shared with you last Sunday that that's a dangerous place to be, outside of the presence of God. Very dangerous out there. But see, in his presence, you have wisdom, you have discernment. In his presence, you won't be fooled by the many false prophets and teachers and preachers that's in the land today. People that we've heard with our own ears saying now there's no wall between the secular and the spiritual. We almost fell off our bed. You know, we could, you know, it's like we can go here in the club and then we can come right back in the spiritual and we're reaching both worlds. Reaching both worlds. And it was very sorrowful to our spirits because it was a very well-known program and millions of people are hearing this, and you should have seen the folk in the audience that were agreeing. So they're being led astray because this person went this route and became famous through this venue, and now that they're popular, they go back to singing for God, but they're saying that God wants them to do both. I don't agree with that. There's no compromise in the kingdom of God. God doesn't need anything to assist him to draw. His son died on the cross. He's done enough. He suffered. He bled. He died. He rose. He's living again. He's done enough. God doesn't need to add any addendum. It's done. No addendums to the contract. No addendums to the covenant. It's done. I dare you add anything or take away anything from what was done on the cross. Who are we? But see, what's happening in the land today, because people are not living in the presence of God and they're outside in the earthly realm, man is coming up just like with the Tower of Babel, their own ways, their own plans. It's almost like Satan said, I will ascend. I'll do it my way. And the whole time he's drawing people just like the Pied Piper to go down the wrong path. There's one path, the path of righteousness. And that's the path we need to stay on. So that's why I'm saying the anointing on me isn't changing, it's changing on you as well. You just need to recognize it. Because God is raising our awareness of who he is. So close, but yet so far. How many of you in your prayer time before we begin to learn the truth that he is in us would look to see him out in outer space somewhere in the cosmos? We're praying out there, and he said, but I'm right here. I'm in you. We have to begin to practice an awareness of God. We were coming to church this morning, and we were riding on the interstate, and we wondered why everybody just stopped. And we went a couple of feet, and we saw why you had two state troopers. They became aware. They saw. They obeyed. That's all God is. Quick. Real quick. Because I'm like, and I did that. I said, glad I was driving the speed limit. Because you always, you know. So I couldn't be puffed up and pride because a few more seconds, I'd probably been right up there with them. But mercy. Mercy. But I was telling my husband, I said, that's a visual for me. If we are aware of Christ in us, when we're about to do wrong, how quickly will we stop? Amen. Thank you. Because we're aware of his presence. Now, what does that tell you about the situation in the church today when people are just doing what they want to do? They're not aware of the presence of a living God. They're not living in the presence of God. I'm not saying this to be critical. I'm just saying this so we can get out of danger. Amen. Get out of danger, because Satan is seeking to devour. He's looking. He's looking, but he recognized those who are in the presence of God because they're shining. They're shining. I didn't say they were perfect, but Christ in them is being seen because we spend time in the presence. And we have to become more aware so it will not become so easy to sin and always have an excuse of why we did it. It should stop us in our track, the way we talk, the way we think, the way we feel. And we're a temple. He's right in here. He's a part of it all. But we're not aware of them. We're not practicing his presence. Situations come up that's too hard for us to do, and we forget he's there to comfort us. And that's why I was so blessed this morning when Charlene got up. We were singing that song, God is good and good all the time. So you can't relate to that if God hasn't done anything for you. It just become repetition. Boy, I'll be glad when they finish singing that song. They sing that one more time. But see, as they're singing, I'm thinking of what he's done. I'm thinking of how good he's always been to me. I'm thinking how he's always been there. And see, yeah, I can sing it for just like the angels in heaven saying glory, glory. I see why they say glory, glory, glory. They're all struck by him. But you be in a place where God's done something marvelous for you. You can sing it all day, can't you? See, it means something to you. And that's what you have to pull from. That's what I'm trying to say. This is life experience. This isn't just coming to chemistry class, taking notes, go home, memorizing it, and hoping you pass the test. This is live. This is live. This is real. And that's how I was feeling when I was singing that song. I said, I'm sensing some folk, they're not getting it because they haven't been there yet. Keep living. And God's going to show his goodness to you. Am I right? Keep living. You're going to be the main one leading the song. God is good all the time. And I'm going to tell you something, too. God's goodness handle you, take away all kind of fear. Where you hesitate, you didn't hesitate today. You couldn't wait to share the goodness of God. You weren't afraid of men's faces. You were more focused on what God did for you. See, you begin to magnify God. Forget the faces of man. You had to share what God had done for you. Took away all your anxiety, all your pain, all your fears, and left you know with joy, shouting, praise, and worship. Ain't he wonderful? Ain't he wonderful? But I heard something else she said. She said she was talking to herself, said you're going to churches and you learn they're not doing anything. And see, that's what happened when you just come into four walls. Your mind said, I'm just coming to hear. No. You come in to learn and receive and let it become a part of it so you can go out and fight the good fight. So it came to her. She heard the Holy Spirit and she obeyed. And she began to do what she knew to do. And look what God did. God said, look, I'll do my part if you just get up and move it. Just move it. And she did. And I know God was so pleased to bless her. Because, you know, fathers love to show off. They love to let you know I had to answer all the time. I remember when I was coming up and I had a dad, you know, and I'm a little strong-headed. Yes, I was. And he bought me a little car and something was wrong with the car. And I told him, don't worry, I can get that fixed. He said, no, you can't. I said, yes, I can. Give me the key, please. And I went out of the car, won't start. He see me out there scrambling, you know, and I'm too embarrassed to go back and say, you know, can you help me? So finally come out. He touched something, 2 seconds, you know, it was done. He said, how about that? I said, thank you, Daddy. He was so happy. And look, and went in his pocket, gave me a couple of dollars. He was just happy he won. But then it was happy he had fixed it. But see, the Father's like that. We don't come to the Holy Spirit enough to ask for assistance. So that blessed me, and I'm sure it blessed many others in here. See, you were in the presence of God came, whoosh, and you entered right in. Woo! See, he was laying right there with you. He was there when you were checking yourself. He was there when you were thinking certain things. He was there. He was just saying, if I can just get her attention, if I can just get her to be aware that I'm here, if I can just get her to hear me. And you did. See how dangerous it is being outside the presence of God? He has an answer for everything. And then you said it was quick. So let's learn. Don't come here thinking the Father's wasting his time talking to you. He's giving you instructions for the warfare. Charles, when you all went out to war, didn't you all get instructions first and then say go? Go. But you were told what to do first. You were prepared. You knew who you were looking for. You knew what to do. You were well prepared. We are too. But it's up to you. It's up to you. And I've noticed a lot of times, say, we're going to have to fight the good fight when drowsiness come on. You know what I do when that happens? Because it happens to everybody. I said, the devil is a liar. He want me to miss this part. So he said, you know what he is? He got right there and he just rocking my little head. Because you know how I am. You know, just my little weak spot, just rock your little head. Ain't gonna put. See, the church at large is like that. And we need to wake up out of our slumber and rise up and stand for something and become the mighty warriors that we were baptized in the Holy Spirit to be. Powerful witness for the kingdom of God. It's dangerous out there. And my prayer is that after today, you will be so aware of his presence that it'll stop you in your track. And you'll say, Lord, I repent and move on. Because he's faithful and just to forgive us, isn't he? Amen. Practicing the presence allows us to participate in heaven's worship. Did you notice that worship today? See, we was in his presence. That was heaven's worship. That wasn't man's worship. That came from heaven. God has given new songs from heaven. I heard the men experience that Friday night. That's what happens when you're in his presence. See, you don't have to play the same thing over and over again. It doesn't become a job, doesn't register. You're just flowing in his presence. Those beautiful melodies from heaven begin to come. And see, it's healing. And it just goes right into your spirit, and it just heals you. It's nothing like the wonderful presence of God. You know what happens when you're in the presence of Satan? It's bitterness and wrath and jealousy and nastiness, fighting, killing, treachery, stealing. Who wants to be in that presence? Fear and anxiety, adultery, fornication. That's his world. God says, you come out from amongst them. Come out of darkness into my marvelous light. And now begin to shine your light so others can come out and have peace. God's always desired intimacy with men. We talked about that last week, intimacy. How much closer can you get to somebody when you actually live in them? That's how intimate he wants to be with us. And we told you last week that was always his desire. Isn't God awesome? See, God will start off with shadows, but he has a plan. And that ought to give you hope. He starts off with your life now, but that's not it. He has a plan to get to an ultimate goal in our life. He started out with the tabernacle to come and dwell with men. He said, but that's not close enough. Then he got Solomon to build a temple. He said, it's beautiful, but it really isn't what I want. He said, that's why I'm going to send my son Jesus down the cross so then I can send the Holy Spirit. And now guess what? I'm in him. Can't get any closer than that. That's why he said we'll do greater works. Now he have little individual habitations all over the world. And he can speak to each and every one of us whenever. He's my father. He's your father. He's your father. Every situation's going on, he's right there, part of it. I don't have to say, well, Father, how long are you going to be with Angie? Can I be after Angie? While he's dealing with Angie, he's dealing with me, he's dealing with Charlene. Isn't he awesome? Amen. So you can't figure God out. Amen. And that's why I don't need to be all up in your business. The Holy Spirit is. I need to be over here in my business. The Holy Spirit dealing with me. Isn't he marvelous? And then guess what? You remember back in the day when you had those party lines? You remember those? Oh, am I telling my age? Well, they had party lines. You can be on the phone and sit there and listen to everybody's conversation. Remember Andy Griffith with Barney and him, you know, they used to be on the party line. But guess what? With Christ, there's no party line. You can't be listening to my conversation with the Lord. That's between me and him. It's really private, so I can go and tell him everything. My faults, my failures, my hurts, my pains, you know, all the little secrets that's weighing me down. That I don't want anybody else to know about right now because, you know, they can't do anything about it. But you can go to the Father if you recognize that he's in you. Stay in his presence. He's dwelling in you. You are a holy temple. Wow, if we could just get that. And when you pray, your mindset is not out there in the cosmos and the galaxies. You're having a personal conversation with the Lord. He's with you when you're eating breakfast. He's with you when you're laying down. He's with you in the car when you brush your teeth. Where is he going? Where can you go that he will not be? Where? And we need to be mindful that when we're talking nasty to folk, when we cheating on our wives, when we tempted to steal, when we slip and cuss a little bit. He's saying, don't be condemned, but you offended me. Repent. And when you don't, then you grieve him. Because you say, oh, you've disrespected me. The Lord said, you disrespected me, the Holy One of Israel, and you don't even care. And now you've put up a barrier between me and you. So when you calling on God, help, he can't hear you. He said, if you just get the barrier out of the way, he never stops loving us. He never forsakes us, but we put up barriers because we fail to recognize his presence at all times. And so we're hollering out for mercy, mercy. Help me, Lord Jesus, I need this. He said, if you take down the barrier so we can once again become intimate, I can assist you. We have to protect the intimacy. And Satan realizes that. That's why he attacked Adam and Eve in the garden. You know, the Father walked with them and he talked to them personally. Didn't he pay attention to their every need? That bothered Satan. See, you remember now, he used to be Lucifer. He was used to the intimacy of God. He didn't have it anymore. It was a barrier because he sinned. It was kicked out. No more intimacy between him and the Lord. But now he sees it with mankind. And he doesn't like it. So he's thinking, how can I put a barrier between them? How can I separate them? I know I'm going to get them to do the same thing I did, sin. It worked for me. It ought to work for them. And so that's what he did. He came up and he caused them to disobey and sin against God. And barriers were built between God and not just Adam and Eve, but the whole human race. Satan thought he had won. He said, they'll never get close to him. Now, I got them. I'm their Lord. They'll worship me. But see, God had a plan. God said, you think you won, but I always desire to dwell with mankind, and I have a plan. And I told you, he started with the tabernacle. He started with the Temple of Solomon, and eventually, you think that's why Satan wants to come and possess mankind? He wants to get in there before the Holy Ghost. He wants to send his demon and his fallen angels right into your body so he can possess you. You ever seen a person possessed? Have you ever seen a person possessed through the use of alcoholism or drugs or any other sins? It changes their features. And then when they get saved, it's like God began to build them up into beauty again. You ever notice that? You can get a 20-year-old, maybe looks like he's 80, because Satan has ravaged his body. He doesn't respect this as a temple like our master does. He says, your temple is holy. Take care of it. It's precious. But Satan said, I'm going to tear it down. Because you are in the very image of God, and I don't like that look. I'm going to tear it up. And then he gets you to become addictive. And you can't quench the desire for whatever he's called you to be addicted to. It's like it's no satisfaction. I don't care if it's gambling. An addiction is an addiction. And the ultimate goal is to just get you out of the image of Christ. And I know sometimes people can look at themselves. No one wants to be addicted. No one wants to look like that. But only the blood of Jesus can set them free. That's why we need to go in the power of the Holy Spirit and set them free in the knowledge that Jesus Christ can save them. Not criticizing them, not looking down on them. Some of us were like that. Before we came to the knowledge of Christ. Remember how you felt. And isn't it amazing? You can see some of your friends now who have been saved and been in the presence of God. You say, man, you look great. What happened? You look younger. See, I'm becoming like Christ. I'm becoming more like Christ. In 1 Corinthians 6 and 19, let me read this. It says, this is Paul talking to the Corinthians. These are wonderful scriptures you need to meditate on. Just meditate on them. And begin to get a revelation that you truly are a temple carrying around the Holy Spirit. What an awesome responsibility. You've been chosen to house the living God. Be careful what you do with your body. It's not your own. Be very careful. Here's Paul asking the Corinthians, he said, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Why? Because it houses him. Honor him. He lives in you. You're no longer your own. Be careful what you do with your body. We were standing up here giving offering today, and I can hear the Holy Spirit say, now, you're just not offering. When I begin to lift my hands, he said, you're offering yourself. You're not just offering money. I'm surrendering myself. We have to become aware of what it is we're doing. You just stand up, Angie. Turn around, Angie. Sit down, Angie. See, that's crazy. Now, no purpose. And I could tell, oh, Angie, that was so spiritual. You did such a spiritual thing. Now, go home and meditate and let me know what the Lord wants. It's funny, isn't it? But how many people do you know are being a plate like puppets like that? The pastor come and say, get up, do this, do that, run around here, you know, and you do it, not even being led by the Holy Spirit. Because you're not in his presence. You're not practicing his presence. You're just letting a man dictate to you everything. You're not studying and show yourself approved. You're not praying. You're not getting in touch with the Holy Spirit who lives in you individually. You're just dependent on a man to do everything. Well, I don't have to stay up tonight. Don't matter. You know, Pastor George, he'll do all the studying. He'll come here tomorrow. He'll preach. He was up 3 and 4 in the morning. You know, I don't do right. I just got to get up, get dressed, eat breakfast, and come to church. Wrong. Because you'll never grow. You'll never enjoy the goodness of God. In times like Charlene, when she was sitting there and had a need, you won't hear God because you haven't practiced hearing his voice. So we all need to study to show ourselves approved. And if you've been in the presence of God, just like we heard something the other night, and it's not that you're critical, but you stay in safety. And because we practice the word of God and we're hearing from God and God has truly put the love of people in us, we don't judge, we don't criticize, but we know danger. And I don't care how you dress danger up. It's still danger. So I know danger in a robe. I know danger in a collar. I know danger in a title. Because the presence of God will let me know, wait a minute. There's no way you can be up in the spirit realm and the next moment they bring you down here to earthly foolishness. Separate it, fine, and then move on. Be careful what you receive. Be very careful what you see. And if you practice the presence of God, you will not be controlled by man's gimmicks. That's all I'm saying. You won't be fooled by man's gimmicks. And then your relationship with the Lord will be real. It'll be vibrant. And when you do have a problem or trial in your life, you know who to go through. And guess what? You're going to have results. You expected results. You got results because your Father loves you. You're hearing the truth all the time that God's a healer, that God lives with you, that you have not because you ask not. You hearing these truths, then God said, now practice it. And you did. You got up and you fought the good fight and look at the results. Life saved, life spared. Satan's filthy hands is off of you. Here in Corinthians, Paul's teaching the truth that the dwelling place of God is in each of us individually as we live in Christ. I told you this is God's ultimate effort. Isn't that wonderful? That he would sacrifice his son just so that he can come live in you. How special is that? Why do you take that for granted? Why do you think that's not important? That a man would love you so much that he would let his dearly beloved son die just so he can come live in you. And we were wretched and in sin at the time. We weren't living for God. We weren't thinking about God. We wanted God, please. We love living in the sin, but he looked over all. He said, but I love you so much. Can you understand that kind of love? Can when you actually understand that kind of love, when someone is spitting in your face and beating you and lying on you and hurting you and cutting you, but they still say, Father, forgive them. That's some awesome love. Do you ever stop to meditate on that when you're feeling down on yourself, when someone has talked about you or belittled you or told you you're nothing, you'll never be nothing? Kill yourself. Why you live? You're not worth having anything. And then you go into the presence of God, and he's saying, remember, I gave my son for you. Measure my love against that. And it ought to settle you right down. That's some awesome love. Awesome love. His presence is awesome. It's power. Satan doesn't want you in his presence. He can't attack you there. He cannot enter there. That's why it's so good to worship. It draws in the presence of God. Now, Paul was... Another translation for that is, do you not know, is, haven't you been informed? I know I told you this before. Did you forget what I told you? So he's asking them, he's saying, I know you know, but I'm looking at the way that you live in, and it's obvious to me that you've forgotten. How many of us is like that? God is so close, but yet we still sin knowingly, without asking for forgiveness. Haven't you heard the truth? Haven't you been taught the truth? Don't you know the result of sinning against God? Why do we still do it and not repent? Now listen to what I'm saying. Do it but not repent. There's a difference. Because we're going to sin because of that man nature, that Adam nature, is always going to be a fight, but we have the Holy Spirit to help us to not to. Before we didn't, but now we have the power of the Holy Spirit to say no. And when we don't apply that power, then we compromise and sin, and then we do it over and over again, thinking that we can mock God, not knowing that we're putting a bigger barrier between us every time we don't repent. And you know why we don't repent? Because we can line up with people, everybody doing the same thing. And then we get comfortable, then we get familiar, and then because God is long-suffering and no consequences has happened, we get fooled. Well, we can get away with that. We can get away with that. We can get away with adultery. We can get away with fighting. We can get away with lying. Deacons going up and killing pastors in the pulpit and pastors going to bed with their secretary. That's foolishness. That would truly frighten me that I'm going to get up in a holy pulpit and preach the holy word of God with no fear of God. What is happening? We need to wake up, church, and stop accepting this foolishness. And then we'll go right up in their congregation, and we'll sit and we'll feed into their ministry, and we applaud them knowing that they're sinning before God because we want to have fellowship with man that bad that we'll deny the holiness of God. We know it's wrong. We know it's foolishness. But the fear of man makes us accept it. And the Holy Spirit in us is grieved. Because nobody will take a stand. And every time you go in a situation like that, the enemy just rocking you to sleep. Oh, just accept it. You know, look, it's not stopping the church from growing. It's not stopping them from building buildings and having all these programs. Guess what? They're on TV now. And you believe the lie. And so the enemy uses that to make them water the truth down more and more until they have nothing but a lie. I was telling my husband, when Jesus preached, remember his ministry began to grow? He didn't change the way he preached. He said that it got harder and harder. He wasn't concerned about the crowd. He was concerned about the truth. He didn't change his message to keep the folk coming. He kept preaching the truth. And the disciple, you know, and he looked at his disciples, you going to leave me too? Because people start leaving. They start leaving the ministry, start shrinking. He didn't miss a beat because his source was the Father. It wasn't the people anyway. He was there to obey God and his Father, and he was speaking with the Lord. He said, whatever I hear my Father say, I say. And if it's too hard for you, then you can leave. But the disciples had a little wisdom there. They said, but Father, where are we going? You have the words of truth. Right. See, you have to begin to discern, is it the word of truth? Yes. If it is, stick with it. I don't care if it's just me, you, and thee. If it's the truth, stick with it. I don't care if it does hurt. I don't care if it is hard. If you've been in the presence of God and God is witnessing your spirit, this is the truth. It'll bring you life. It'll bring you deliverance. It'll bring you abundance. Stick with it. I don't care if you end up on a shed with six chairs. So what? It's not about that. It's about the truth of God. Times are coming when you're going to have to know who you are in Christ. The battle's getting fierce now. Satan's beginning to attack bodies, attack minds. He's throwing stuff out there that if you didn't know Christ, it would kill you. I'm not saying you'll die and go to hell, but your life will be cut short. If you don't know how to fight the good fight of faith and tell Satan back up in Jesus' name and how to plead the blood of Jesus and how to speak the word of God, yes, you will be defeated. Now, Charles, how many times have you been on there, those big old machine guns? And what if I gave you a bullet that fit in a 22 to put in there? Is it going to do anything? Be up the creek. So you going out there with a watered down word fighting a demonic force when you should be having the power of God. And here you come with a watered down word, something you done heard in a song. And not even an anointed song. Because we love to memorize lyrics. So you prefer memorizing lyrics and not memorizing the word of God. If you can memorize a lyric, why can't you memorize the true word of God? And so here come the enemy in your face and you pull out a verse. And the devil gonna say, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But who in the world is Yolanda Adams? And you're going to say, I mean anything to him. Stop getting caught up in the foolishness. Stop getting caught up in other people's so-called fame to the point where you desire that's where you were. You want to be seen like that. You want to do all that, all because you want man's recognition. You don't know where they are in their life. You don't know what the outcome's going to be. All you see is what you see. And not being in the presence of God, you're not able to discern anything. You should be running after Christ with all your might. You should be getting the truth in you. This is temporary, folk. This is not our permanent home. We head into eternity. All that you desire, it's yours, it's coming. Be patient. Right now we're fighting. Most people in war, they can tell you the benefits come after they get home. Am I right, Charles? The benefits come. You rewarded this. You rewarded that. Here is your reward. Here's. But when you're in a battle, you're not thinking about all that stuff. You're thinking about saving your life. You're thinking about protecting the life of a friend. You're not thinking about how much money I'm going to get when I get home and I'm going to collect my disability, my social. You're not. Is that foolishness? See, we laugh now, but that's how we think. We think about all that we can gain now and all that we want to store up now. God said, forget that. Every soul you win to the kingdom, you store it up. Aren't you tired of being defeated? Aren't you tired of being unhappy? Where's your joy? Where's your victory? Have you led anybody to the Lord lately? Have you shared Christ? Have you said the gospel with anyone? When's the last time you picked up your Bible and read a scripture and got a revelation? When's the last time you applied it to your life to see if it works? When is the last time you recognized Jesus in your life? When's the last time you said, good morning, Holy Spirit, knowing that he's with you? When's the last time you said, Lord, forgive me. I didn't mean to talk like that. I know you heard it. I'm so sorry. Where's your godless sorrow? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. that called you to repent and weep. That's why he loved David. David was an adulterer, a murderer. Yes, he was. But God said, he has a heart after me. Why? Because he had godly sorrow. It hurt him when he hurt the Lord. It hurt him. He's a man, he failed, but when he did, it hurt him, and he repented. We can hurt God now, and it's like, psh, I'll, you know, maybe tonight before I go to bed, I'll say I'm sorry. You don't have any godly sorrow. It didn't bother you one bit that the Holy Spirit in you is grieved, disappointed, annoyed, upset. He who chose you is a holy temple. It didn't bother you one bit that you cussed a friend out and that you lied on your job and you talked behind somebody's back and you was rude to your wife or your wife. It didn't bother you. Holy Spirit hearing it all. He's right there with you. He said, wait, I'm holy. I'm holy. I'm holy. Get rid of the bitterness. Get rid of the jealousy. Get rid of the anger. Wait a minute. I'm holy. I'm holy. It's a holy temple. And you just as stone hearted and I'm not listening to stuff because, see, now the flesh is in control. And the Holy Spirit is getting greedy. He said, be careful, because you're bringing in a barrier. You're going to separate me and you. The intimacy that I paid such a heavy price for, you're profaning it. I did all this so we could be intimate, and now you're just mocking it. Stop it. All you got to do is repent. I'm faithful and just. Just repent. That's all. And then you repent and you're once again intimate. Now you can hear everything he's saying. And he can be a part of everything in your life. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. You'll get caught up in a lot of foolishness. Love member call and they sick and you have no power. All you can do is fret. Because you have no power. How many of us are like the Corinthians believers? Have we forgotten? And that's why so many of our blessings are missed, because we continue to take his presence for granted. Bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. But you take me for granted. Bless me, Lord. I would love to, but we've lost our intimacy. We get up and we sing the song, you know, Rain Down. And we love to sing all that stuff, but God said, but your heart's not agreeing with it. It's more than just singing. You got to live it. Bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. I'm blessed of the Lord. You are? And you profaning the holy temple? How can you be blessed of God? You profaning his holy temple. See, don't be fooled by a lot of these televangelists who get you caught up in a lot of foolishness and cause you to want to be like that when you're discerning. You're not judging. You're just discerning. This is dangerous. That's all. This is dangerous. You get a personal relationship with the Lord. And I think that's why the Lord is drying up a lot of these television evangelists anyway, so that you can put a little effort in knowing him. You just can't sit back and in your recline and click, you know, because half the stuff coming out now is not life. God said, now you go pick up the word. Let you and I. Let me give you, see, God has some things to say to some of us to come back and share things, mysteries that we've never heard before. Never heard before. If we would just give him a listening ear. I'm just about to close. But I wanted to share with you, how can we recognize the presence of God? Now, I'm going to give you three ways. You go home and you do some research. I'm going to talk just about one because it only take about a few minutes. But the first thing you need to do is be sanctified. And I'm not talking about, you know, I'm here to give my testimony. I'm Sister Chavis and I'm sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm not talking that. And what is it, Charles? See, we laugh because we've been there and we've experienced it and we've been fooled by that. I remember I used to try to memorize it. So when it came my turn, I could say the same thing. That's how much pressure I was under. Because I figured if I didn't say it, I was gonna say, oh, they're going to say, I'm not saved. So I would write that thing down, go home and practice it. I knew it word by word. You know, I'm Sister Chavis, you know. I'm laughing at it because it's pure fusion. You think the devil won't laughing at it? And that's what I thought sanctified meant. That's just what I did. But you need to learn what sanctification. I've done an intense study on it, but you study it. I'm going to talk about it in a minute. And then you need to learn to keep your thoughts on him. Become aware of him. Keep your mind on him. It'll give you perfect peace. Stop not thinking about the Lord. I pray every time you think you're thinking about Christ. Think about him all day. That's how you pray continuously. Just thinking about him, you're praying. See, the enemy tell me, no, go find, you know, your little secret closet, get on your knees, and you can't do that while you're working. You can't do that while you're here, but you can think about him all day. You're praying. But there is a time when you can set aside for you and the Lord. Yes, you can. That's how you build an altar. You know, Lord, in the morning, my first hour, I'm giving to you. In the evening, the last hour, I'm giving to you. But all day long, I'm still talking to you. Because, see, the enemy wants to steal that time in between. And I told him, you are a liar. I got you. I'm not just going to wait for this time. How about I'm going to talk to him all day long? Because now you think you're going to use all that extra time to fill my head with all them ugly thoughts. All those thoughts that would defeat my purpose in Christ. Nope. Every time a thought can't come, thank you, Jesus. It makes me remember to talk to Jesus. Talk to Jesus. Just talk to Jesus. You don't even have to pull a daily break. Just talk. Hello, Father. Here I am. And he may say, okay, let me do the rest of the talking. Learn to be quiet. He may want to tell you, get ready for something that's about to come on your job, something that you need to prepare for after work. Be quiet and listen. And people want to know, how come she always avoid all that? How come she doesn't get stuck up in traffic? God, I tell you, don't go that way. Happens a lot. Don't go that way today, though, man. I'm thinking it's me. I said, but I'm going to trust this today. I'm going to practice. I get to work, half my supervisor's not there. Well, how you get in the street? I heard the Lord tell me not to go that way. And then you get a little excited about that thing, you know. I heard the Lord. I heard him. Not only did I hear him, I obeyed him. Get it, though. Get it. I'm going to try that again. See, that's how you practice. If you never practice, you never do it. You know, the Lord will tell you, don't close the door. My husband told you several times because you got your keys. Why don't you listen to it sometime and save you some frustration getting the car? Man, I left my... The Lord try to tell you. He'll tell you, look down, tire going flat. Mm-hmm. He will warn you if we would just slow it down. You late anyway. Why are you rushing down? Take your time, getting ready, and then now you want to rush. You're already late. Slow down. God may say, this is my time. I'm going to hold that for you. Everything's all right. You can never fail if you're in the presence of the Lord. God will hold everything for you. Slow down. Listen. As soon as you get up in the morning, listen. What is he telling you to do? You know, he'd be saying, look, make sure you stay close to me today because it's going to be a little hectic. Be a little case. Stay closer than normal today. You may hear something that may rock you, but if you're close to me, I can help you. Because remember now, together you and I can do all things. He's already pre-warned you, so you're on the alert. I didn't say you're suspicious. I didn't say look at every chair and see a demon. Every pencil is possessed. I didn't say all that. Stay close. Stay close. You may go to a meeting and you be saying, man, I'm so glad I was in God's presence. Been there, done that, that. Because if I wasn't in the Lord's presence, I would embarrass myself today. But I felt the presence of the Lord kept my mouth closed. And then I'm always... Before I go and meet with people anyway, I send the peace of God. I bind bitterness and strife and discord. I ask God to let his joy take control. Even if we disagree, let it not be a lot of animosity. God will honor that. Lord, let your peace in me go before me. You control the meeting. Just don't be storming up in a meeting like that. You don't take the presence of God with you. You may be like those seven sons of Sceva. Is that you, Pharaoh? What'd they do to you in there? You have to be very mindful. Keep your mind set on him and then glorify God. Let his light shine in you. He's in you. Let him shine. If you're in his presence, what do you think happened with Moses when he went up in the presence of God? So he had to cover his face. I'm telling you, standing in the presence of God will change you. It will change the way you look, talk, behave, just in his presence. You begin to shine the radiance of, didn't Jesus reveal his real self up on the mount? Say he was radiant. Well, that same radiance is in you. Let it shine. We allow darkness to come out because darkness is attached to unbelief and doubt and anxiety and misery. But attached to Christ, there's radiance. That's what glorify means, to shine. So when you come around people, you change the whole atmosphere. You're not afraid. You can go into, if God says you go into that prostitute house, you're not going in judging. You're going in taking the light of Christ. All of a sudden, everybody in there has been converted. Wouldn't that just bring joy to your heart? Wouldn't that just thrill you that these folks are out of darkness into the marvelous light? Then you move on to the next. Then you move on to the next. That's why Paul and the apostles had such strength to go from place to place, because it brought them joy. Their strength was the joy of the Lord. But when you become complacent and you do nothing, you absolutely do nothing, you just sit and you do nothing, how boring can that be? And the next thing you know, you're beginning to backslide. Because you're saying, you know, that word's not good enough for me. I'm bored. Well, we're not here to tickle your fancy. We're here to give you the truth. Entertainment is not on the top of the bill here. It's the word of God. It's worship. Sanctification. You know what sanctification is? Set apart. It means to make holy. And when God sanctifies, he not only sets us apart, he makes us holy. It's Christ dwelling in our hearts every day. It's the result of Christ's gift of himself to us by the Holy Spirit. He sanctifies us by living in us. He sets us apart. He's making us holy. Key word, he's making us holy. The Bible doesn't say that we sanctify ourselves, and it doesn't say that our works sanctify us. The Bible tells us it's the Holy Spirit that makes us holy. You cannot make yourself holy. You can't dress yourself holy. You can't talk yourself holy. Stop it. You're wasting your time. Only Christ can make you holy. It's not the way you look. It grieves me when I see so many people who are so miserable because they know they look bad, but they think looking that way makes them holy. They believe the lie. That's bondage. Only the Holy Spirit can sanctify. And then the Bible tells us he sanctifies us by his word. We're sanctified by truth. John 17, 17. He says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. He's saying that we should be made holy and be useful for the work for which he has chosen us. First, he sanctified them, and then he sent them into the world. Jesus came in, he was sanctified, he was set apart. He was made holy by the Father. He was set apart, then sent. Moses, set apart, then sent. Joseph, set apart, then sent. David, set apart, then sent. Paul, set apart for years, and then sent to the... See, we can't wait for the sanctification piece to be finished. Jesus didn't go, he wasn't sent till he was 30. He was sanctified. And then he was sent. See, we want to be sent and we haven't even been set apart. You got so many people out there preaching in the flesh because they have not been set apart for the work that they were called to do. There's a waiting period. It's the becoming. It's the being made holy by the Holy Spirit. It's the being, as my husband likes to say, first be, become, then do. And you have a lot of people doing, they're hurting people because they haven't been sanctified. They haven't become Christ-like. They're still in the flesh, and they're hurting people. You first have to become sanctified. Let the Holy Spirit set you apart, and then let him begin to work in you. Your sanctification, as we become more and more like Christ, we begin to think like Christ, feel like Christ, walk like Christ. We understand the truth. And then once God said that's good, he says, now I'll send you. Jesus sanctified the disciples, did he not? He taught them. He taught them. He taught them. See, they were becoming like him. Then he sent them two by two. He didn't just say, come on here, Matthew, going out in the world. Matthew probably went right back to stealing. He hadn't been changed. Peter went right back to cussing folk out. What do you mean you ain't getting saved? You better get your so-and-so up in here and get saved. Because he was a foul-mouthed man. He hadn't been sanctified. He hadn't been cleansed. But God saw potential in him. And he sees potential in all of us. He's in us. He's sanctifying us. Let him work it out. Settle down. Be still. Let the sanctification process have its complete work. If not, you're going to condemn yourself forever. You're going to forever think you're not worthy or perfect. Let God work it out. We're a holy temple, and he resides in us. We're going to keep our thoughts on him, and we're going to glorify him, and we're going to be aware of him more now than ever. Father, I thank you. Thank you for your presence. We love you, Father, and we just thank you for making us aware that the intimacy was slipping between me and thee. Father, just like when a husband and wife can even commit all against one another, the intimacy sometimes is lost. They never trust one another the way they did before. The intimacy is gone. And that's the way it is with you. When we repeatedly sin, it offends you, it hurts you. It can even annoy you, and the intimacy is beginning to slip. But you're saying all we have to do is confess our sins, and it can be just like it was. Sweet relationship with you. Help us to be aware, Father, when we are slipping away from you. Just a nudge to let us know we need to repent. We need to begin to have godly sorrow. Not manly sorrow, that man will find us out or that we offended man, but we need to be more aware that we've offended God. And once we are aware, that we'll be quick to repent so that we can be back safe in your presence. In your presence, in your presence, where there's fullness of joy, healing, peace. To stay in the realm of the spirit is to be in your presence. That's our desire. Father, let us not forget this word today. Let us not be quick to revert to our fleshly, earthly ways. Let the word that we've heard today be sealed in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. As you take us even higher, let us not regress. Let us have such a deep desire to walk in the Spirit, so mindful of excess joking, frivolous talk, but ever mindful of a holy God that hears everything we say. Help us, Holy Spirit, to become more and more like Christ. Help us to practice the word of God. On every negative situation in our life, there's a word. There's a word for everything that's going on in our life. Push us today to seek your promise for that situation. And we're going to stand on that word until we see it manifested in our lives. Push us to the word of God by your Holy Spirit. Today we say, we speak a word. We speak a word. And we expect that word to be manifested. And it's not just for us. It could be for a neighbor. It could be for a family member. So many opportunities to practice the word of God. And if we don't see it immediately, help us to stay strong, believing that your word is true. Protect our hearts from doubt and unbelief. And Father, help us in our unbelief. Help us there. I know you can. You can help us. But we need to be people that be quick to apply the word of God and not speak what the enemy wants us to say. Speak the word of God. Speak it. Speak it. And begin to walk in peace. Let your negative situations prompt you to say what thus saith the Lord. Help us, Holy Spirit, to be mindful of that. We love you, Father. We're so excited about where you're drawing us. And you're not just drawing us without first preparing us. We're excited about the spirit realm and about the manifest presence of the Father. It's changing us. And we welcome change in our lives. We're a holy people. You're a holy God. And we are your temple. And we recognize you dwelling in us. And we say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.